Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
A very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to your deadly program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. All right, now, Monash expert, sports and brain injury, more research is needed. We're going to catch up a yarn with Professor Terence O'Brien, Chair of Medicine from Monash University. Online, Professor, how are you?
I'm good, Trevor. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, thinking of you, mob in Victoria, with the second wave and COVID-19, the world we're living in at the moment. And look, it's a dark tunnel we're travelling down, aren't we?
Yeah. No, thanks very much, Trevor. We appreciate everybody else around the country feeling sorry for us. We like it better when you hate us, but at the moment you can feel sorry for us.
Yeah, well, you'd be hating us because I think we got the AFL Grand Final in Queensland this year.
You did. You pinched it. We were never going to give it up, but now, unfortunately, you pinched it. But look, we're very just delighted that Queensland has actually been so welcoming of our sport and have allowed us to actually have a season, because if it wasn't for Queensland, we wouldn't have had an AFL season this year. So it's the one thing that brightens our life in lockdown. True. Down here is we can actually watch the footy up in Queensland and hopefully see Carlton win a few games.
Look, speaking of footy and all contact sports, the topic today, Professor, sports and brain injury, more research is needed. So we are virtually, I wouldn't say laxy-daisy, but there's got to be more work done regarding protecting our players in regard to brain injury, yes?
Definitely. So this is an issue that has come initially out of the United States, where they discovered that quite a few NFL players in their middle age developed a really nasty neurodegenerative disease called chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE.
Well, Professor, my mind goes to the movie with Will Smith.
Concussion. The concussions they suffered playing American football. Now, for a long time, we sort of hoped that that wouldn't apply to the football sports you play in Australia.
I'm just going to try and get a professor back. I could hear him. You probably can hear him, but he couldn't hear me in regard to that very important conversation. That's Professor Terence O'Brien, Chair of Medicine, Neurology, and Head of Central Clinical School, Monash University, Program Director, Alfred Brain, and Deputy Director of Research, Alfred Health. That is very important conversation, sports and brain injury. When we talk about the sports brain injury, look, my mind goes to the movie with Will Smith, Concussion. It touched a nerve with the NFL, but it's something that needs to be worked on, yes?
Yeah, so that's really when the sports world first became aware of this condition, CTE. It's actually been around for a long time. Mm. It used to be called punch crunk syndrome in boxers, but this is the first time. That was the first time that it was made aware that it could actually affect footballers. We did hope, though, that it wouldn't affect Australian footballers or rugby players. And the sports we love in this country. But recently there's been a couple of players from both rugby league and from Australian football, Danny Frawley and the famous Aboriginal footballer Polly Farmer, who's had their brains examined after they died, and it looks that they've got evidence that they've got this CTE condition as well. So we know it can occur in Australian footballers. What we don't know is how often it occurs, or what are the particular risk factors, or how we can prevent it.
When you look at the sports and the sports that we all love as we watch the contact sports going on, I like to think that all the sports code are doing their bit. When someone has a head injury, they take them off the field, they check them, and if they're not good enough, they won't put them back on. Otherwise, some players are going back on. Probably the question is, we don't know how long to keep them off the field. Would that be a fair case?
That's absolutely right. I mean, the sports have definitely become much better in their concussion protocols. And if there's any evidence clinically of a concussion, the players don't come back onto the field that game. But we still don't know really how long they should stay out of the game before they can return. Can they return next week? Do they need to wait a month? Do they need to wait 6 months? Because we do know that if the brain hasn't completely recovered when you get the next collision, that the long-term risks are significantly greater. And even when someone's symptoms have resolved, so they feel fine, the brain can still be in a state where it hasn't completely recovered. So a lot of the research our group and others are doing is to try and develop better diagnostic tests of when the brain is still in that concussive state and when it's recovered to a safe state to return to play.
So, Professor, as a professional, when looking at the brain, can you see like internal bleeding through X-rays, or
no, how do we? Concussion is a mild brain injury that doesn't show up on standard scans. With really powerful scans, you can see changes, and with a variety of other tests that we're developing, blood tests, eye movement tests, etc., then you can see changes. But a standard CT scan or MRI scan doesn't show any significant changes. There's not bleeding or bruising on the brain.
So what do you think that needs to be done, more thorough checking on the brain before a person returns to the field?
I think we need to have more research that develops better tests to evaluate the state of health of the brain. So we need to develop new scans, blood tests. There's a lot of technology that is now being investigated in this space, both in Australia and overseas. And we need just good research to validate its usefulness and then how it should be applied to return to play protocols.
Professor, what would be the cause of brain injury as such? Are we talking paralysed? Are we talking vegetable state? I don't know the word doctor.
No, or? Not like that. But generally what happens is someone has a concussion and 95% of people recover within a week or two.
Yeah.
When they are concussed, though, they'll feel headachy, vomity, unsteady, they might be drowsy. But that all recovers, and for all intents and purposes, the person seems normal. But what can happen down the track if they develop one of these neurodegenerative diseases, they can start developing problems with their memory, their thinking, erratic behaviour, severe depression. There's been a number of suicides in NFL players, and obviously that was seen to be the issue with Danny Flora early as well. Mm. So psychological and what we call cognitive or thinking issues down the track many years after the repeated concussions are what we're worried about.
Look, I'm probably using the example of rugby league being a Queenslander, using Jonathan Thurston as example, wearing a head guard. We need to do what we can do to protect ourselves. And if it is wearing a head guard, probably all players should be wearing head guard. Don't you agree?
Yeah, well, I 100% agree we should be doing everything we can to protect our players' brains. But actually, head guards are a bit of a two-edged sword, and the evidence around them protecting against the long-term or short-term effects of concussion is not really there.
Okay.
Head guards are really good at protecting from skull fractures.
Okay.
So if you fall off your bike and you're wearing a helmet, you're much less likely to fracture your skull. Get hit in the head by a cricket ball, you're much less likely to break something. But the concussion is a shaking of the brain, and the helmets that people wear playing sports are not really protective of that, and in fact they may even make it worse because players wearing head guards are more likely to put their head into situations.
Yeah, thinking that they're 10-foot-tall, bulletproof.
So you know the real proof of that is American football. So American football's probably been the worst sport in terms of long-term adverse outcomes from concussion. They all wear helmets, but what they do is they use those helmets as battering rams.
Yes.
And they bang, crash their heads into each other as a routine part of the game, and so they get lots and lots of little concussions.
Yeah,
and
gotcha.
That's probably actually more risky than an occasional big concussion as you get in Australian football or rugby league.
Okay. So just confirms we do need our sports and brain injury. More research is needed, yes?
100%. That's what, and we need to, you know, get better diagnostic tests, and we also need to have better epidemiological studies looking at the long-term outcome of players who have played football, and and how many of them are developing problems down the track, and to understand what we can better do to help them, not just at the time of the concussion, but also many years later.
Yes. Professor, I think as a Victorian you may find this funny, but just picturing the Essendon Bombers up against the Richmond Tigers, all wearing gridiron helmets on the AFL field, would look a bit funny, wouldn't it?
It would look a bit funny. And I'm not sure we'd do anything to reduce the incident of concussion by doing that.
Okay, well, all the best to you. Thank you very much for sharing. You stay safe, Professor. Thank you. Beautiful yarn there with Professor Terence O'Brien, Chair of Medicine, Neurology, and Head of the Central Clinical School, Monash University, Program Director Alfred Brain, and Deputy Director of Research, Alfred Health. Talking about head, he wears a lot of hat on his head. Very important man doing his job, and talking about the sports and brain injury, more research needed. Yes, that is the case. Have your say, you mob. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yarnum with Baldy on Trevor, Tim, Trendy, Trev, Murray from the Curry. Your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bumblebrook Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
My people, Aboriginal people, don't forget what we're fighting for. We Aboriginal people of this land, custodians, my people, my people.
My people, my people. Chris Phillips, hope my people, you all well. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And this daily program is National Talk Black. I'm your host, the Bally One, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumblebrook Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Have your say and yarn up strong. All right, I'm going to speak to a Dilly Strong, Dilly brother, who's an artist, a true artist, and he's a Louvre debut for Indigenous artist Lloyd Hornsby, post-discovering true cultural identity. We've got brother Lloyd on the line. Very good morning, Lloyd. How are you?
Good, thanks, Trevor.
Good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. First of all, my friend, just let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Yeah, I'm a Yuin man. That's where my family originated from. But actually, I was born and bred in Queensland and Brisbane.
Mm-hmm.
I did a bit of work up in Cairns.
Okay.
With the community up there, with the TAFE community, doing art up there. But I also work with young foster boys, Aboriginal foster boys. We take them up to Cairns for, doing some culture.
Now, you were known as a nickname, a Kiwi, with Maori as ancestors originated from New Zealand. But you found your true cultural identity is right. Tell us that story, please, Lloyd, there.
Yeah, well, because of Stone Generation, my grandmother changed their identity.
Mm-hmm.
Her dad was a Chinaman, so Nan looked a little bit different, so... She told everybody that she was from Rotorua. So the problem with that was that about three of my brothers and a sister went over and lived there for years.
Mm.
And I found out at the age of 58 that we weren't Kiwis that were Aboriginal descent, and they all come back and are living out their life here now. But out of the family, I'm the one that's followed up on the connection.
Yep.
And I've found family down in Wallaga Lakes, and I'm living at Glen Innes at the present moment, and Robertide. I've got a cousin living here in Glen Innes, and I've got cousins next to Glen Innes in a town called Armidale.
And look, it's you found this out late in your years, but the fact that you found your true identity, good for the spirit there, Lloyd.
Yeah, it changed my life, mate. It changed my life. My daughter rung me up. My auntie actually told my daughter, and my daughter rung me up, and she just said, "How do you feel about it, Dad?" And I said, "Well, it all makes sense now."
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't feel like you belong.
Sure.
I went to New Zealand, and I went to where Nan's supposed to have been born, and I just said to my wife and the kids, "I don't feel any connection here whatsoever." And it worked as far as Nan is concerned. There was no threat to her family.
And she did that for protection of her family and herself. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly.
And look with that story, which is fantastic and beautiful story, and finding your cultural connection. Let's talk about your beautiful artwork using art as a tool, and to debut at the Louvre. Look fantastic, and tell us about that. How that all come about, please?
Yeah, well, we got a message from Biennale, which is an organisation in Europe where they take artists from all over the world that are getting themselves a bit of a reputation.
Yes.
I don't know how they found out about me, but somebody must have passed something on.
Mm-hmm.
And normally people apply, but this has come the other way.
Yes.
So the first instance we thought, oh, this is a scam.
Thank you. And, yes, exactly.
Yeah, so we went through the Australian government and the Queensland Griffith University.
Yep.
And they said, no, it's for real.
Oh, fantastic.
So what I've done is I've supplied them three pieces of art that was going to go to the Cannes Film Festival and the Louvre. Mm. Now, we'll get this straight. It didn't get into the Louvre or the Film Festival because of COVID.
Yes.
So they've come back to me and said it will go in next year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But I have three other larger pieces of art that are going over there next year.
Okay, 2021.
So
yep.
I have six pieces that will do a tour, and the Louvre's part of the tour.
Fantastic. So, like I said, a bit of a shock, and this is a scam, too good to be true, but it is what it is, yes?
Yes.
Fantastic. So yourself, family, all excited about it?
Yeah, my wife jumped up and down, couldn't believe it.
And look,
It's a nice feeling to be recognised.
Yes.
Like that worldwide.
Yes,
I've
exactly.
I've sold art in Europe, and I've sold art, a lot of art in the States and in England.
Mm.
But to be recognised like that, because you know, that puts me up there with what's his name. Young Aboriginal artist that passed away. Gordon Bennett.
Okay, gotcha. Yep.
Yep, that puts me up there with him.
Yeah, and that's a compliment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Him and I went to the same uni.
Okay, there it is.
I went and did Aboriginal studies at Griffith University.
Yes.
So that's a 3-year course, and I enjoyed it. I got emotional first.
Yes.
When I saw what was going on, or what had been going on. But then...
Because you had a passion for art for a long time as you were growing up?
Yeah, from when I was a boy, mate.
Mm.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Well, it was meant to be, and how you say, all the planets lined up, so to speak. And, of course, grandmother with strong spirit working behind the scenes has made this come to fruition.
Yes, she certainly has.
Yeah, beautiful. Fantastic. Yeah, a lovely story.
A lot of her stories that I paint stories about.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly.
Stories.
Exactly. And I know that a lot of First Nation artists use art as the tool, as the vehicle to tell our story, belongs to ourselves and our mob and our country. And it's a way of educating people of the world, especially Australian government and non-Indigenous people, about First Nation people of this country.
I've got involved with the jail system here for 3 years, working with prisoners, inmates.
Yes, Lloyd.
Aboriginal inmates.
Yes.
And it's listening to them, and it gives me, you know, something to think about, where I do pieces of art where it's all about what's going on with them, where I've done a piece called Nothing Changes, where they're put away for the smallest reason.
Sure.
Where others get say, bail or something like that.
So there's a bit of their story in your artwork.
Yeah.
Powerful.
What you need to do is go onto my website and have a look, and you'll see a piece there called Nothing Changes. It'll be a story that you know everything about.
Yes.
And I also have been successful doing pieces on Terra Nullis.
Yes.
Right.
And what's your webpage there, Lloyd?
Art at U and Art.
Art at U and Art.
Yep.
And U and that's Y U I N.
Yep.
Y-U-I-N-A-R-T. Okay. Y-U-I-N-A-R-T.com. Check that out, you mob. Fantastic. Yep. Look, beautiful sharing with you. Thank you very much. And a good yarn. Congratulations in your Louvre debut 2021. And it's meant to be, brother. So fantastic, Lloyd. And keep doing what you're doing. And shout out there to your family, to your mob there.
Thank you.
You take care, Lloyd.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye-bye. A deadly yarn there. Uncle Lloyd Hornsby and Louvre debut for Indigenous artists. And this is post-discovering true cultural identity. So his grandmother, who classed herself as Maori to protect her family, but he found out and he thought he was that way inclined, New Zealand, went over there looking for family, but didn't feel the connection. And sure enough, Yuin Nation here in New South Wales and found his connection. So beautiful story, and uses art as a tool to tell that story. And Lou have got in touch with him. He thought it was a scam at first, but spoke to Griffith University. No, it's the real McCoy. And there he has got his art over being debuted in Louvre in 2021. Fantastic, thanks to COVID-19. But it's happening. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, a very upbeat, positive story there. Tell us what's happening in your life here on National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yarn with yours truly, Trevor Tim. Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. It's your ship. I'm just doing it to 12 noon, so add to the conversation. 1-800-422-416.
Hey, what get on your mob? It's me, Bush Tucker Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Father came from across the seas, had a similar biography too. Many people, colors and race, simply searching for a better place. Mother came from the desert lands, riding camels over burning sands. Like her grandmother embraced, leading family to a safer place. Ooh, what's wrong with that? Avoiding tragedy. Ooh, what's wrong with that? Running from misery. Ooh, what's wrong with that? Looking for an amnesty. They had to flee. They had to flee. We'll be heading to outer space, searching for a better place. It's a fitting eulogy, once again we'll be refugees. All of us are refugees. We came from Africa, across the sea. Not so different, humankind, searching for peace of mind. All of us are refugees. We came from Africa, across the sea. Not so different, humankind, looking for a little sunshine. All of us are refugees. We came from Africa, across the sea. Not so different, humankind, searching for peace of mind. Ooh, ooh, what's wrong with that? Searching for peace of mind. Ooh, ooh, what's wrong with that? Looking for a little sunshine. Ooh, ooh, what's wrong with that? Searching for peace of mind. Ooh, ooh, what's wrong with that?
My name's Jared Harbrow from the Gold Coast Suns. You're tuned in to National Talk Black with Trendy Trek.
1-800-422-416.
A very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your say by calling to that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Wild Australia and Gotcha for Life team up to save tradies' lives. Wild Australia has partnered with Gotcha for Life to help build the mental fitness of Australia's welders. This conversation may be heavy on somebody out there, so always keep in mind, Lifeline are there to help you, 131114. Suicide is the leading cause of death of Australians between 15 and 44 years of age, and men are three times more likely to die by suicide than women. And workers in construction and other tradies, including welding, are even more at risk. Tradies are 70% more likely to die by suicide than their behind-the-desk counterparts. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Donna South, National Manager in Membership and Marketing at Weld Australia. Donna, very good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. Thank you for having me on. I'm really well, thanks.
Great. Thank you very much for coming to the program. A very important conversation. And, a dark tunnel for a lot of our tradies as such in regard to the numbers, which is astronomical in regard to suicide. It's fantastic. Well, Australia have teamed up with Gotcha for Life to save lives, save tradies' lives. So tell us the engagement there, please, sister.
Thanks, Trevor. Yeah, so we've teamed up with Gotcha for Life, who are a not-for-profit based here in Sydney as well. Their remit really is to raise awareness and education around mental health. And we talk a lot about mental fitness rather than mental health, and treating mental fitness the same as we would physical health and physical fitness. In that we think a lot and we talk a lot about our physical fitness and our health, but we don't talk about our mental health and our mental fitness. And that's what we're trying to achieve with this partnership, is to normalise talking about mental health and mental fitness, particularly in our particular case, around tradespeople, around welders, in the workplace.
Yeah, and when you look at numbers, 70% of are more likely to die by suicide. They're high numbers, aren't they?
Very, very high numbers. Very alarming.
Exactly. And so regarding this happening, Weld Australia, working in this industry, and decided, well, we need to do something about it. Gotcha for Life are at the table, so teaming up to save traders' lives. Tell us how that conversation went on.
Yeah, so that stems from, at the start of this year, obviously, we all of our lives got turned upside down to one extent or another.
COVID-19.
Yes, COVID-19. And it certainly has impacted on different people in different ways. And just a lot of the conversations I was hearing and regular calls I was making to our members and catching up with people in our industry, it was really very clear that people were struggling, I guess. And largely that was due to the uncertainty around COVID-19 and what the impact was going to be and what the impact continues to be. We still don't really have all of the answers about how long this is going to go on or what the impact is going to be, what's going to change today, tomorrow, next week. Some parts of the country obviously are suffering more than others. Our friends in Victoria are really feeling it at the moment. And that led me to start, digging into what trends already existed, what's the history here. So I had my team do some research on mental health with a particular focus on trade.
Yes.
And the brief that they gave me really just opened my eyes to how this affects our industry as well as other trades.
Well, exactly. I suppose
that,
it puts...
70% statistic is still sort of gives me the shivers.
Exactly. I suppose it puts another spin on the so-called phrase they've been running with COVID-19. We are all in this together. And if we're talking about suicides of our brothers and sisters in the trade industry, we are all in this together, and we need to get it together and support and help our brothers and sisters, yes?
That's exactly right, Trevor, and that's exactly what this partnership is about. So I've reached out to Gotcha for Life, or World Australia's reached out to Gotcha for Life.
Yes.
That's what they do. They raise awareness and they raise education around having these conversations. They're normalising these conversations about mental health, and that's what we need to do in these sectors, because these are sectors, you know, welders and all kinds of tradies, they're not the kind of people generally who are going to talk about their feelings without a little bit of help.
Well, exactly. It's like, I'm tough, I can handle it, what have you. So when we look at the industry and look at those numbers, 70% of are more likely to die by suicide, are we talking about whether it's a pay, or is it a pressured job or pressure industry, or a lonely industry? Can you pinpoint the reasons in that sense?
Yeah, it can be a number of factors, Trevor. The industry that welding in particular serves are really broad, but say construction as an example. Construction employs more welders in Australia than pretty much any other industry. And that's an industry where there is pressure. There's long working hours, the work is physically demanding, there's a lot of pressure to perform.
Yes.
You know, those are workers who are exposed to risk in the workplace as well, so compared to other industries. And then there's job insecurity, there's pressure related to finances and to debts, and there's family issues, in some cases there's higher levels of substance or alcohol abuse in those industries.
Yes.
And these things kind of come together to create a bit of a perfect storm, I think. Tradies quite often are sole traders or contractors, so
yep.
they pretty much work for themselves, so they also obviously carry that burden that...
To run a business.
To run a business.
Exactly.
There's concern about legal trouble. You know, you're always worried that you're going to do the wrong thing, someone's going to sue you. That's right. So there's just a number of factors that can really compound on a person who's working in that sector.
Well, look, it's very important fantastic organisation, World Australia, Gotcha for Life, have teamed up. We're working in the right direction in that sense, you know. Love and thoughts are going out to families who lost loved ones along the way. But let's bring those numbers down. That's the goal, isn't it?
That's exactly right, Trevor. Zero would be the perfect number.
Exactly.
We'll take any lower than we've got now.
Yeah, beautiful. Nice talking with you, Donna. Thank you very much for sharing. And all the best to families out there and the world we're living at the moment. Stay safe, Donna, and all the best to you and your team and your family.
Thanks, Trevor. Same to you, and thanks again for having us on to share the message.
Take care, Donna. Bye-bye.
Cheers. Bye.
Adela Young, Donna South, her name is. She's the National Manager of Membership and Marketing at Wald Australia. And the topic there, well, the fantastic news about Wald Australia, who've teamed up with Gotcha for Life, and they are teamed up to save tradies' lives. It's very sad, but high numbers. Tradies are 70% more likely to die by suicide than their behind-the-desk counterparts. So an industry pretty strong with men and women who are under the pump, so to speak, in regard to work that they do, and especially a lot of them are contractors and are sole business owners and sole tradies, and a lot of pressure in that sense as well. But look, for everybody out there, if you're feeling that way inclined and down, what have you, there is always someone to talk to at Lifeline, the number 131114, and just reach out for the support, and the support will come to you. That's what it's all about, Jamal. Let's help each other. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation here, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns. That's BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Give the Murray a call, let's have a yarn, 1-800-422-416.
Magic Girl, Colour Stone here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you say your mob, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Border and Trevor, Tim, Trinity, Trevor Murray from the Curry, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. Yana up strong, your mob. We're going to catch up with Tony Gibbs. Tony, good morning.
Good morning, Trevor. I couldn't wait for a better time to call because the lady was talking about welding. Well, that's the last work I did in Cairns before I went on pension, eh?
Okay, rightio.
Yeah, I was working for NQEA doing the patrol boats. I was doing the outside skins on the boats. I was fully marine certificate.
Man of many talents, brother.
Well, yeah. I got a lot of hats. I used to have a welding helmet on, and I also worked for Tropical Reef Slipway there, all the fishing boats, because I grew up. Yeah, they want people that just want petrol money and go through. If you weld on a boat, your life depends on it. So you've got to be certificated marine welder and all positional, overhead, downhand, vertical, even round corners, mate. We had to weld with a mirror sometimes. I was a welder. But then I had to get out too because I had a bad chest x-ray. And I also had a cut in a broken wrist here, which is why I played guitar for years.
So how long ago were you a welder? How long ago was that?
I knocked off work in 82 here.
82.
And I went up and met Donna. We lived on the peanut farm on a tableland and went around, and then we drank a lot and stuff, and then we didn't give it up and got into art and stopped losing my license and stuff. But that's not why I rang, but I was a welder and it's hard work, and I have a New Guinea nephew that's a welder that's doing all the marine work here too, and I've told him to watch the fumes and things.
Yes.
Asbestos I was talking about. Look, mate, I heard yesterday they mentioned about the hospitals as well. I just got to get this off my chest. The hospital, and they were talking about courageous conversations, and I'm sitting here trying to be calm and get this properly out one time. The mess, that was 20 years ago. About all the trips to Townsville, I drove to Townsville for 20 times every 3 months for 5 years, from Dalesborough through Flood.
Yes.
I used to talk on a show before you come on, and we had problems with petrol money, and we got that doubled, and it was messes with accommodations, and I reported all that, and it was bladder, 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 bladder. Because they are covering up their initial mistake from 20 years ago, and I know the doctor that signed that.
But shouldn't there be records? Doctor records? Records?
Oh, yeah, and I've got some for some, but, I mean, we had 8 stays there, and, but I cannot do that, you understand? I'm just like you, you know.
The little person.
Yeah, mate, we all, you know... covering them up and blaming lung cancer. Yes, she's a smoker. I'm a smoker. Look, I work all that welding. I work with asbestos. And I'm still here, and I've got a cigarette in my hand now because it's the workers' friends and what that said about the pressure of welding. You know, I talked
But what you're saying, if the report should say exactly why she died, is what you're saying?
Yes, it should have the primary cancer, which is bladder cancer, the tumour. And I want to, this is the difficult part of the story, and this is what they can do to mentally torture people. She was diagnosed about 1 year ago now, and she went down for this procedure, and they sent her in, and they knock them out, and I think they put a cam on people, and they inspect, and they found a tumour, and then they come out, and then wake up, and I'm waiting there outside, I don't go into the operating theatre, and then the guy comes down and says, yeah, we found this tumour there, and the guy that did the test said, and we said, oh, that's good, you can shave it or whatever the procedure is. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. Well, we just heard it from the horse's mouth. The man had done the test.
It gets your hopes up high, doesn't it?
Well, but this is, you know, I'm not the patient. I'm watching my lovey there.
Sure.
You know, getting hope and high, you know, and that they can do something. She's like, you know, suburban hospital. Why didn't they send her for a diverticulectomy to remove a diverticulum? And, you know, I don't want to go into all that, you know. But instead of just sending her 20 times... And then they gave her emergency surgery, gave her a big hysterectomy, disturbed everything. And then they go and they poke her with pens and she ran away from the hospital because, oh man, this is the prime case of one person who's suffered. Sheila's in Australia. I'm not saying her name, but it was a Sheila. This is a bit of political talk, mate. You know, this is how we have, because we're not politicians. We don't have to be political. We've got to be courageous and say these things. We don't have 60 minutes. I'd love Carla Grant or some NITV or somebody I can trust to get onto this, because I do have a lot of hospital records. And you saw 60 minutes. And if you go for the records, say, oh, their records are mixed up. I got what I can. I cannot go to the hospital. It's a hostile environment. You know, what I want to go in the witness protection scheme. What do we do? Where's this, you know, this Queensland health one we see on the TV all the time there?
Are you looking at taking it further, going legality, going legal?
Well, who do I get in touch with, mate? Can anybody come back in the show? Is there anybody out there, you know?
Sure.
Who can help me deal with this? Because
I know there's some legal companies out there talk about let us do your services and we don't pay unless we win.
Yeah, well, okay, if they want to sue them, if it's got to be about money, it's got to be. You know, they ruined our life, you know, I didn't want it to be about money. I just wanted justice, you know. This is another justice thing. We want land justice, health justice, and business justice. There's three axes to it. It's about Cairns-based hospital, and I do not agree with the death certificate, and there needs to be an inquiry. And then all we do is, you know, create jobs for them while we sit and suffer and wait for 20 years, you know. I mean, we want it now. When we want it now, you know.
Exactly.
Black spirits matter.
All right.
Black spirits matter. Black lives matter.
Well, thanks for sharing, my brother. Thank you for sharing and feeling your pain there, brother.
And I'm glad that I could get it out and I didn't feel under pressure. It's real difficult, Trev. You've got no idea, but we got this show and that's our 60 minutes, okay? And I had 5, 10. I'm happy. Thank you.
No, my brother. Thank you very much. Keep in touch, Tone.
I will.
All right, mate. That's how Tony Gibbs there, and a lot of pain in regarding losing his loved one, Donna, about 6 odd months ago, and still feeling pain and talking about legal rights and what should have been done and what have you. Going through sorry business, and it is tough.
So have your say, your mob. Yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here. 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black. Yarn up with the bully on Trevor Tim 20. Trev Murray from Macquarie. We've got 9 minutes left on the program. We've got the news coming up very soon. So do join in the conversation. Too deadly. 1-800-422-416.
G'day, you mob. This is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Music. It's My Memories there, Noel and Val McGrath on My Land, that tragedy, that album. We're going to catch up now with Sister Mirindi Schreiber on the line. My sister, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, good, thank you.
Good, darling. Let the mob know. Let the mob know who you mob. Where you from, sister?
So Yura Yalabang, Agaburi Mirindi, Agubamaburi Gugu Yalanji, so from in Mossman, so my name's Mirindi, so I'm from Mossman there.
Yes.
But working here on Gimoi Wallabari Yirindji Nation, so
beautiful.
Really proud to be sharing culture, love and song and everything else there.
Too deadly, my sister. Now you're calling regarding Super Netball Indigenous Round. First Nation local artists create Soul Impact Cairns pop-up arena. So tell us about it, please, my sister.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't know if anyone's really heard of it, but it has been sort of on the news where Queensland's kind of hosting a lot of the sporting competitions.
Yes.
So we've been blessed to have that happen in Cairns, but doubly blessed to have our artists showcase some of their artworks on the global brand ASICS shoes. So I think there'll be three Indigenous players wearing their shoes. So
we've got deadly.
The beautiful artistic works of Sister Narita. So Narita and Alvarina. So Narita Briscoe, Alvarina Johnson and Brianna Enoch.
Beautiful,
so
fantastic.
The three of them combined, will be... that's what I said, you know, their shoes will be running the courts.
And look, big shout out to Super Netball in approaching and talking to our First Nation artists. And look, it's a female sport and girls can do anything. And we have female artists. I mean, isn't it all fitting?
Female artists all share. I mean, the theme for it is, let me just read this thing. It's a woman's ceremony.
Yes.
You know, a gathering of many journeys at the same destination. So I think it's only fitting to have women, you know, do that artwork on these shoes and share their journeys, you know, which will be, when you think about it, it's like them journeys will be running down courts.
Well, now, shut up. You know? Yeah, true. That's right. Can't keep a good woman down.
Running rings around them courts now.
That is too deadly. And thank you very much for bringing the story to the yarn, to the table here on National Talk Black, because I didn't know of it and you educated me. So thank you, my sister.
Absolutely. And I think the fact that, you know, we've had so much, you know, so much sad and sorry news happening around the place and all over the world, it's really nice to
good
see
good news story.
Still being supported and still being, you know, although there's, you know, and still being able to get their name out there throughout this, you know, pandemic and throughout the whole
too deadly.
Know, crazy.
Well, big shout out to Super Netball. Thank them very much.
Netball,
and the beautiful three artists. Fantastic. And thank you for sharing, my sister, bringing it to the table.
Thank you so much for letting us sort of plug it there. And we appreciate, you know, anyone that can support our artists locally. So,
yes.
Too deadly.
Mirindi, thank you, darling. All the best. You take care, sis.
You're a yellow dad.
Bye-bye. That's Merindi Schreiber, beautiful, and that's fantastic that the Super Netball have approached our artists, and three beautiful women doing their bits there in regarding putting the artwork on the shoes, ASIC shoes, while those girls throw down. Fantastic. We're going to catch up now. We've got someone online. Someone, good morning.
Good morning, brother. Yeah, with the algorithm or a coincidence, but after talking about Whitnall, buzzing me there, I come on Facebook and it's not right there, talking about Whitnall, brother.
Right, like, there. You. See, the planets are lining up. Meant to be.
Yeah, brother. And brother, there, brother Tony there, well, I'm glad I'm behind him. Mm. I thought it was Gordon Ramsay there, brother. I don't know if it's defamation or he's scripting it.
Did you do going overtime?
Yeah, brother. Brother, you know, stopping in Melbourne, the white bloke that got stomped on and the car hit him.
Yes.
And you know, when they said white lives matter, you know it didn't come from a honourable place when people were, like, the political commentator.
Exactly. They're missing the point.
A letter to the editor. You know they were just playing silly bugs. What were the rage? You know, I cry about that poor white bloke. And other white folks have got badly done by the police. So even Colin Hanson said, she said, well, what they're thinking, the silence is deafening, brother. And brother, just a quick one. You know, in 1970, the Hollies come up with a song, Too Young to Be Married, brother. You know, he was talking about their dads and their parents. The young kids are becoming parents. Kids are becoming parents or something like that. You said that. But anyway, I became a parent at 43 years old. In 1997, I became my daughter's 23 now.
Yeah.
And one of the things was good about it, I didn't have to wait long for the kimbies to come home.
The kimbies.
At the parenting room. But when I used to take the kids into the toilets, the gentleman's toilet,
yeah.
It looks like she did like I was a pedophile. It was really bad, brother. And but there I got parenting room, and when you're going to the woman, they grab their kids, put their kids close to you, or they grab their handbag. And I like what Mark Gibson said, you know, if you think you're big, bad, and whatever, you know, when you're a little 3-year-old sitting up from a toilet, daddy, I'm finished. put you in your place. And when you go to kindergarten, they'll say, they're not your children. They say, to the little fella, that's your dad, and you lose your identity, brother. So I had to reinvent myself. And because of fighting people, you know, brother, I had to pull my head into and. You know, like, I could eat crow, brother.
Yes.
But, see, I became the dad at 43, and there's two blokes on. I went away. I reckon it's this discussion group. A bloke named Ride on the show, and his dad turns up. And there's a little fella, Dean Thompson. He built the play, Dean Thompson. And his little son player turns up. There was there are women that I know that had children in the black net. They don't remember the dad, but they don't never find out who the dad because they have a period of amnesia, brother, but that's what I'll take on. I wouldn't say more, but not now, brother. We haven't got enough time. Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Someone regularly calling you mob. Murray going to sign off here. Thank you very much for your company. Back in the hot seat again tomorrow, 1-800-422-416. Two Deadly Mob, thank you for your company. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. More importantly, stay safe. We are still in the pandemic. No vaccine for the virus, so abide by the rules, you mob.